Welcome to South End Supporters, a St. Louis City SC podcast powered by Ready to Live Wellness. David Heck alongside Eric Cole. Eric, we've got a 0-0 draw, an exciting one, but a 0-0 draw nonetheless to cover from FC Dallas and St. Louis City at City Park on Saturday night. Before that, we've got some news because there's a brand new sponsor on this program.
I feel like we should have had like a jingle right before you said that, like a drum roll leading into
that.
Yeah,
it would have been nice. It would have been nice.
But again, production value is production, not our strong suit.
Not our strong suit. I'm not sure what is. You know what? eating pizza, Eric, I think might be one of our strong suits. We love pizza.
We're pretty good at it.
You know what kind of pizza we like?
Tell me.
Felix's Pizza Pub. That's the kind of pizza that we like, Eric. And they are brand new sponsor to this program. We talked about them last week. You couldn't have a better establishment. Carmen Stone over there, who runs the marketing team. The chefs that they have working and actually cooking up this pizza, the wings, everything is phenomenal. But not just the food, the whole place is just a great atmosphere and really great people down there.
I have been thinking about their food since we left there that night. It's so delicious and it's filling. I mean, size, proportions are everything. The way they also have like weird different like things that you wouldn't just typically see at your normal pizzeria as far as like combinations that you see on pizzas. And then another thing I like is it seems like, I don't know if it's weekly or pretty often, they'll have like a specialty pizza of the week. I
think
the last week one was like the Picky Eater. And it was like just four straight cheeses. And I was just like, finally, my kid will be able to eat that. But it's so cool. And like you said, the place is just... It's a vibe, man.
It is a vibe. I don't know what we got to do to get a slice named after us, Eric, but we need to try and make that happen. What would be on your slice?
I was just about to ask you that.
So, I hate to put you on the spot.
Man, put me on the spot, man. I like it, especially if we're talking pizza. I think I'd throw a chicken.
Yeah.
I'd throw some chicken on there. I'm a red sauce guy. So
okay.
And their sauce was fantastic.
Really good.
So I'm going to go red sauce on there. I like a little chicken bacon.
Mm.
And then, you know, maybe to just like, put a little zing in there. Maybe some chopped up jalapenos.
Okay. Yeah. So a spicy one.
A little salty sweet combination. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, they have that buffalo chicken one that's hard to improve upon for me with the blue cheese crumbles and the jalapeno ranch. I love that. You can't go wrong. I mean, there's so many different options. And like we said, I think last week, the slices are huge and you can get them by the slice. That's kind of where you can't like get those anywhere, like just like pizza by the slice, you know, that's kind of a unique thing.
Yeah.
But there's like a half a pizza.
Oh, I loved your face when they brought, well, both our faces when they brought them out because we were like, kind of like, well, which ones do we try? And they were like, how about you just try, you know, one and then if you want more,
right.
And we were like, what are you talking about? And then they brought it out and then both our faces were like,
I was like, how do I eat this damn thing?
Cut it?
Yeah, right.
Like, you know, we knew it was
huge.
New York, but it's like, even if you fold it, you'd have to almost double fold to get it because it's like three slices in one. But what I love is like, it normally when they go, you see places that go like bigger on the size, the quality kind of suffers because it's like a gimmick almost
for
it. This didn't happen.
No, it was really good. The wings were really good. Check them out. Felix's Pizza Pub, 6401 Clayton. In Dogtown. Really, really good place and a great place to watch games as well. They have all the games, both home and away. Mm-hmm. So if you can't get a ticket to City Park, it's a hot ticket still, always sold out. Head on over there. And it's not just City games. They have all the St. Louis sporting events.
But they do
plenty
say City gets the volume.
They get the volume.
Which is great because, you know, as we've experienced in the past,
not
that
always
can,
the case
that
everywhere.
It can be an issue sometimes.
It can be. No, it's really, really good and highly recommend all the food and drinks that they have to offer there at Felix's. It was a crazy Saturday night, Eric. I was not in attendance at City Park. I decided to go to the Battle Hawks home opener. I'm invested into this team. I said this before last week. I'm a two-time season ticket holder to the Battle Hawks. I don't have them this year. All because of my daughter's softball schedule. So this is the only game that I was able to go to. So we decided to go to the home opener. You want to talk about a vibe, man? It was a vibe. Like it was packed and there are 40,000 people, in the dome for the Battle Hawks game. Busch Stadium, by the way, the Cardinals played earlier that day at 1:30. There were 37,000 people at that game, 40,000 in the dome. And at the exact same time, you had 22,000 plus at City Park. If this town is not a sports town, man, I don't know what is.
I mean, you see it on every broadcast, no matter what sport you're covering, when it's a nationally televised broadcast, it's something they bring up every time. And they brought it up throughout the City game,
throughout
the night, like how big of a sports town this is, you know, no matter what sport it is. And I love the fact that, you know, when all these teams are going on, not one sport suffers.
Right.
Every sport is still massive attendance in it. And it just, again, complements to the fact that, you know, St. Louis is such a great sports town. But the other thing I love, and from, I didn't see the Battlehawks game, but I know how they get there. And then as well, you know, Cardinal games are always going to be lively, and we know how City Park brings it. Is there's also not like a, oh, don't go to those. Those are boring and the fans aren't into it. No matter where you go for any of these sports, fans are going to show up and get loud.
Yeah, fans definitely get loud at City Park. Fans get drunk at the Dome for the Battlehawks game. That might have been the drunkest crowd I've ever been a part of. A lot of tailgating beforehand, and then that carried over into the game. The Battlehawks won. It was exciting. Unfortunately, we did not have the same news at City Park. Another draw as City now drops to 11th place, Eric, in the West. One loss. And five draws. They sit with 8 points. They played Dallas. They drew with them. That was their first draw of the season. One win and four losses to go along with them. Just 4 points for Dallas as they sit in 13th, almost all the way at the bottom in the West. I would say disappointing to not get 3 points. We said this last week. It was kind of a must-win situation. You didn't lose, but of course, walking away at home against a team that has not played very well all season in Dallas is nothing short of a disappointment, I think.
Yeah, disappointment for sure. I mean, for a 0-0 game, it had a lot of action in it, which you don't typically see for 0-0 draws. I guess the only big positive that I'm trying to take away from the weekend, just because it was a frustrating and you felt like it should have been a must win, is it was at least an improvement upon the performance they put out against Real Salt Lake. So if you are looking for, you know, a silver lining in it, you know, RSL, there was no chance creation, nothing really positive going for us. I mean, there was plenty of chance creation. The biggest issue for us that night was finishing that chance creation. And then also, you know, for a dominant performance, which we had and kind of felt all throughout the night, you have these instances throughout that night that almost derail that. And then, I mean, had it not been for, again, Captain Berkey, the amazing man he is with amazing saves, we could have went out of there without a win.
Yeah.
And you think about how really disappointing that would have been. So super disappointing on the night, but I guess if you're going to look at any positives, there are a couple I will point out, but if you're going to look at the big positives, I would say it's at least an improvement from what they brought.
Berkey, good enough for man of the match, not good enough for starting goalie and team of the match day, apparently.
That was a confusing one for me because Pius, Dallas's keeper, is in starting in team of the match day, which, don't get me wrong, he made a couple big saves on the night, but I think when you were looking at the two keepers comparatively on the night, you would definitely give the nod to Berkey there.
Yeah, both played well, but I mean, Berkey, 7 saves, and there were some absolute beauties in there. And again, it's not taking anything away from Pace. I mean, he made some really good ones as well, and we'll get into it. But when you think about body of work there, 7 of them for Berkey, and in the manner in which he saved them, pretty incredible.
So I wonder if, you know, going into that voting for that process, if, you know, the MLS looked at, you know, who should have won that game and how it was favored. And maybe they look at it as, well, St. Louis should have never been put in those positions, so Berkey should have never been there. I wonder if that's their reasoning behind
Could
it.
Be.
But to me, not just as a St. Louis fan, I think if you're watching that game and you had to pick two keepers who had the bigger performance on the night, you point towards Berkey.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, City had 27 total shots in this game, but unfortunately not a lot of them found the target.
Seven
or nine, something along those lines. I think they had total. So again, four, you know, saves essentially. Sorry, four, I guess it was, that actually got there. And so that's how many saves Pace had. On the other side, I mean, 9 total shots for Dallas, 7 of them found the target because those are the saves that Berkey ended up with. So, yeah, but again, both keepers played really well. I thought this game, if you think about a 0-0 draw, like, I've seen games this season that had more goals in it that were not as exciting. This game had a little bit of everything, just not finishing. But, I mean, a lot of good shot attempts, a lot of really good shots, a lot of shots with pace. I mean, a lot of shots from distance, good set-piece opportunities. I mean, if you're going to sum it up in one word, it would probably be opportunity, probably for both teams, especially for City. But nobody could capitalize. City comes out in a 4-2-3-1. Berkey in goal, as we mentioned. Markanic, Parker, Yarrow, and Totland. Then Ostrak and Durkin in the middle. Vasilev, Jackson, and Alm, with Klaus playing in that lone striker role. Pretty similar to what we've seen so far. Anything that surprised you or stood out here? I get asked all the time where the best place is to watch City games, and the answer is always the same. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, and it's not even close. Not only can you watch every single home and away City game surrounded by fans, but you can do it while enjoying the best pizza in the area. Now, I like the Murphy Pie, which is chicken, wing sauce, green onions, blue cheese, and jalapeno ranch. But maybe that's not your thing. Maybe you're more of a fan of a traditional pizza. Then check out the Dogtown with Italian sausage, pepperoni, and pepper bacon. Or maybe you're like my partner Eric over here and you like a little bit of both. It doesn't matter what your tastes are because you can order any of the pizzas at Felix's by the slice. But it is no ordinary slice. Felix's offers the largest slice you are going to find anywhere in St. Louis. So mix and match. Try different pizzas. Just make sure to save room for their award-winning double trashed wings in buffalo, jalapeno ranch, or Thai chili. And if you're looking for something to do during the week, head to Felix's every Tuesday night for Stoned Trivia to test your knowledge in the most fun bar trivia around. Even if you're not a trivia buff, you can still win great prizes, so show up at 7 and be ready to have some fun. It's Felix's Pizza Pub, located at 6401 Clayton Avenue in Dogtown, and check them out online at Felix's Dogtown.
Kind of like I was touching on last week, what I was maybe hoping for was maybe seeing Celio get the start and AZ come off the bench rather than flipped, with Indy playing that kind of central role, because we've seen him there a couple times. And I feel like it's more his natural position from what he's played in the past as well. So maybe that being the surprise. I do like that, you know, they did go with Ostrock complimenting Durkin, because, you know, not anything against Blom, but it showed that they weren't going for that defensive minded structure, especially against a weaker team and again at home. So it was not really any surprises, I would say. And I like the fact that, you know, it kind of showed the intent going into the night. And, you know, I went solo that night, just me by myself. And it dawned on me that, you know, I broke a tradition that I've been having all throughout the season that I haven't done this year, which was starting pregame with a Kona Big Wave.
Oh, from Hellcat, typically.
From Hellcat. So I was like, you know what? I'm sorry, St. Louis. This is on me for not sticking with the tradition.
Fault.
So I went there to get a Kona Big Wave. The draft machines were broke.
No way.
In Hellcat. So I got a Kona Big Wave, but it was in a can. So, you know,
it's a different
vibe.
I don't know if it
that same tradition vibe thing. So we're going to retest this again coming up here Sunday. But I was trying anything to kind of, you know, on my end, kind of wearing the same socks, going back to the shoes that I know that seem to work. And then the other big thing that I thought tonight's City Night was who delivered the match ball.
Oh, yeah.
We had Nelly in the house.
It was getting hot in her, Eric. Yeah,
and I want to give credit to Chris Gebhardt. I was, you know, kind of killing time just looking on Twitter, and right before this all kicked off, I saw him tweet out something that said, "That's 5 Nelly songs in a row. I wonder if something's coming."
Oh.
And so I just kind of happened to think, like, yeah, they are playing a lot, which we surprisingly don't typically hear throughout City Park throughout the night. And then, man, I loved the whole, like, you know, they gave all his like nicknames that he's maybe known for around. And man, I don't know as far as anything outside of goals or big moments that happened in games, there's been a bigger pop throughout City Park. That place went nuts. And I mean, Wainwright came close. I remember when Wainwright came out. Ozzy, it was raining, so it kind of, you know, a lot of people weren't necessarily in the stands at the moment. But man, when he came out and that like, it was just like, oh no. And then that place went, and like every section he made his way, because he went around towards the supporter section, did the flag wave. Each section he made it to just got louder and louder. And I thought it was super cool as he was coming off. They showed it on the broadcast. He gives a scarf to a kid and that got a pop. It, like, you were just feeling like, this is our night.
He's as good a hype man as there is in the game. And the fact that he's from here really helps. I mean, I'd love to see. We talked with Lux last year about having him do a concert. That would be amazing. But I've been waiting for him to be involved in some capacity.
Something.
And so that's super cool. I'm super bummed now, you know, to have found out about that, to have missed it. That would have been really cool. Did he walk past the South End too?
No, I was like praying. I was like, please do a full lap. Please do a full lap, because I may have not seen
we
the
get
rest
neglected
of the game,
over there, Eric.
I would have had to dap him up somehow.
Well, of course. We get neglected. Well, you're close enough to be able to do it. You know, look, a lot, like I said, going on in this one, I'm not sure, like early on, there were some opportunities, some chances on that. I want to jump, and if there's anything earlier on, Eric, you know, please feel free to chime in, but I want to jump to that 22nd minute on the Vasilev set piece. From a long way away. And, you know, you mentioned Vasilev playing sort of that central mid role. It's like since Leuven's been out, I mean, he's almost kind of filled that void a little bit. And I think it's big shoes to fill and not having Leuven. But he's done a pretty good job. And, you know, he's taken the majority of the set pieces and most of the corners now with, like, you know, AZ or someone mixed in potentially if they're trying an in-swinger and they're on the other side of the field. But on these set pieces, he's been taking a lot of them, and I think he's been serving it in pretty well. This one here was settled in by Klaus, and Klaus is someone, you know, we keep talking about, like, he needs to get the confidence back, needs to get the confidence back, needs to get the confidence back. And he absolutely hits, what looked to be a really good shot. You would have seen this from a pretty good angle on the other side of the field, because this was going towards the north end of the supporter section. Tried to go top right corner, hit it just a little bit too high, but it had that feeling of, like, this is a shot that Klaus... You know, he didn't make it. It would have been a really amazing goal if he would have gotten it. But it looked like he hit it better than he's been hitting shots so far this season, I thought.
That's a great point, because I feel like that was almost a theme for him on the night. You know, I feel like even as he has taken shots throughout the season, they just haven't looked like it's had that same Klaus power behind it. And on this one, yeah, it's a tough one where he kind of he takes it with his back to goal, kind of has to turn, get his whole body around it, and just leaves it a little open still to where that ball kind of sails high and right. But from our angle, man, it really looked like that was one, you know, again, kind of like we touched on throughout the past several weeks now. We didn't want to think like, okay, cool, we're starting out like fairly early with the pressure and then don't want to come back right to look at that one as one that let go, because I do feel like, you know, maybe getting it on frame, but again, that's a tough thing to fully get your body around, especially kind of not knowing what angle you're at with your back to goal as it is. But seeing that one sail high and wide, and especially like shortly before that, there was like, you know, an instance where Jarl kind of had a bad touch and left like a wide open shot for, well, it should have been a better finish from Ansa like early on, and Berkey, you know, tips it over. So it was kind of almost a worry that early on we were like, why are, you know, we felt that pressure for them early, and then there was a chance for them. And we just kind of kept thinking on the night, like, we can't let them in this game. And so seeing that go over again, like we've touched on the past couple of weeks, it's like that was one we didn't want to look back and think, oh man, I wouldn't go already.
Yeah. You kind of touched on, again, from some of the opportunities, and you think about Ostrak. Ostrak's a guy that I don't think has played up to his fullest potential to this point. But I think we saw some of it last Saturday night. He played really well. He had that through ball that was played in the 35th minute that Toteland had caught up to. Played it perfectly to Toteland. Toteland, I mean, a little bit long perhaps, but Toteland comes back and then on a sliding save to keep it in, has some sort of a cross to get it back into the box and finds Markanić. Markanić gets left alone a lot, it feels like. And he did have to come up for this one a little bit. Hits it through traffic, and a nice diving save by Pace. Before that, you know, you talked about the pressure, like Dallas, a set piece just outside the 18. And you had Berkey making a diving save there as well. That's going to become a theme for the rest of the night. You know, both keepers going back and forth, making save, diving save, you know, it's just pretty incredible play by both of them.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely thought that was by far Ostrak's best game that we've seen him have in a City uniform. One thing I like about him is he has nothing on his mind but going forward. Yeah. Like when he gets that ball, right, he is just looking to create something offensively. And maybe what holds him back sometimes is the lack of defensive effort that he has. But yeah, it was man, that save on that free kick, because that was hit well, and Berkey makes a great save on it. But this one is just floated in, and Markanić's coming in with full force, and unfortunately it falls to his right, but he still deals with this well, keeps it low. Hits it, like you said, through traffic, which is even going to help or hurt Pace as far as seeing the ball. So it's a great save on him. But man, from our angle, seeing that, it was just one of those north ends are so tough, because you just see how well it's hit and where it's going, and you're like, there it is.
Yeah,
and then
course,
to see the ball just trickling out sideways, so it's like, oh man, like it was well hit. But I almost felt like from that moment, you felt like the tide turned, and it just felt like it was predominantly us from there on out. I mean, outside of a few things here or there, it really felt like from that moment on, the crowd was into it. We were applying pressure, and you truly felt like we kind of controlled the game.
Yeah, I mean, you said Ostrak going forward. I mean, right after that, he hits one from outside the box from really long distance for another save. It was a Toteland cross. It kind of bounced around a little bit. And then Ostrak, I mean, just again, coming forward, but good pace from out there. Another, you know, diving save by Pace, unfortunately, in stoppage time. Get a great shot by Ostrak again from a long way away. Just went high. So, you know, that first half, I mean, you're saying Ostrak's name a lot, but you're saying these keepers' names a lot, and they continue to make saves. You talked about being able to, you know, see the game from the other end, from our end on the south end, you know, down on the north end. I've never actually watched a play develop down there. I have to look at the screen because my eyes suck so bad. I'm excited for Sunday because I should have my new glasses in, Eric, so I'll be able to actually view the plays as they develop on the north end, which will be
when
nice.
You show up and you forgot them.
Oh man, it's not going to happen, dude. It's brutal trying to watch those from a long distance with bad eyes, and you're staring up at the screen. And sometimes I have a hard time even making that out. So I'm really excited. I'm going to be a different fan. It's going to be great.
You're going to be pointing things out to me.
You know? I know.
Like, did you see that?
I'm like, it sounded like an yeah. That's why I didn't know what I was talking about because I couldn't see. But no, a lot of good offensive opportunities again in that first half. And you know that one in stoppage time from Ostrak. Man, it was just high. But like again, he is not afraid to shoot the ball from distance.
No, every time you see him pick it up, and if he's within 35 yards, his first look is where's the keeper at? What opportunity do I have as far as taking a shot on this? And, you know, at this point, though, I'm kind of in the let them fly. You never know where they're going to come. And honestly, he hits this one pretty well, and it catches the top of the net even. So, I mean, it's not like he was far off, or it's not like any of his shots you felt like, what are you taking that for?
Those are the ones, by the way, that really trip me up, the ones that catch a piece of the top or the side netting or something.
Oh, man, there were a couple.
Because they look like goals.
There were a couple that night, and especially one later that we'll get to in the south end that hit the net that had all of us on our end kind of jumping, and that didn't quite, I think it was Ostrak as well. So it will tie that in. But yeah, it was just again, frustrating kind of almost going into that half, you know, down again. But it was just one thing that I noticed that was touched on from a couple people that I've seen is just, you know, we were lacking that energy the last week and it really showed. Whereas this week, I felt like the energy was up a lot more. And you were just hoping, though, that going into that second half, that energy stayed up.
I think it did stay up. That's the scary thing about this is this game could have been really one-sided when you think about all the opportunities. You know, going into the 52nd, 56th minute, Celio had a couple of nice chances. The one in the 52nd, he had to go from, like, I think just outside the 18. It was a good diving save by Pace. On the 56th minute, he had another one from the touchline, couldn't sneak it near post. Pace got a body on that one as well. In between those two, you had a Klaus strike from outside the box, and it was another diving save by Pace. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, like, he was making plays that probably deservingly to be put into that team of the match day. Not sure if you deserve to start over Berkey, because the Berkey saves are coming.
Unfortunately.
You know, we haven't gotten to them yet, and they were really, really good. But that little bunch of, you know, 52nd, 55th, 56th, a lot of action in there, a lot of chances for City. Again, not a lot of capitalization.
Hey, if you're a coffee lover like me, then you've got to try some of the best local coffee there is from Postal Coffee. Will over at Postal Coffee is super passionate about his roasting process, and it really shows in every bag. Every small batch is made to order from small visited sustainable farms, so you really get that great flavor and get that care in every order. Also, 20% of all profit goes to veteran suicide prevention. So not only are you getting a great tasting product, but you're supporting a great cause as well. And if you use the code SOUTHEND at checkout, you'll receive 15% off your entire first order. Nothing goes better to start your day than a new episode of SOUTHEND Supporters and a cup of Postal Coffee. So check them out on their Instagram at Postal Coffee Co. and check out their website at postalcoffeeco.com. Yeah, one thing I loved seeing from the start, noticing a big difference, was the energy that Alm brought from the start. It felt like he was applying the pressure and just kind of, he did what we were looking for as far as, like, you know, when Sam's not in, we need somebody to kind of spring on the wings or spring for those through balls that is going to go in with pace and get behind the players. And Alm definitely brought that in the first half. He was subbed out at half, and I think that's just still him trying to get up to fitness. But, man, I tell you what, when Celio came in that second half, he was just having his way that whole night down that left wing. I mean, Areola, he's a, you know, their captain, and he's a veteran in the league. I mean, he just had his number. I mean, we had a great angle from where we sit every night when he gets that ball on the wing, and he was just kind of breaking around the corner at ease, you know, whatever he wanted to do. He was just, even people all around us all throughout the night were just constantly saying, he's just so good. He's so good. And you just saw this kind of like that swagger we talk about that we love seeing that he brings into it. He just brings that flair, and he brings, you know, the danger with this dribbling. And when he came in that second half, he really, I think this is where you saw that huge jump in all these opportunities that kind of came from the second half. I think a big part of that was the facilitation that Celio was bringing down the left, because I don't really think we truly went down the right as much, because we switched Indy over to that right, which we kind of like him coming in on that left. We've seen him kind of be more dangerous that way, to where he kind of cheated in more, so the shots were coming rather than like facilitation down that wing. But Celio coming in was a huge change. And then, like you touched on earlier, Klaus, when he was taking these shots, it just felt like there was a lot more behind it.
Agreed.
It felt like, you know, you're seeing it kind of throughout him throughout the night. Like he's desperate for goals. And kind of like people were touching on, I heard around me in the stands, they were like, he's got to get one outside of a PK. Like, yeah, he got one from the PK, and that'll at least alleviate that pressure that he gets, you know, not seeing a stat on the score sheet, but still having that, you know, well, he still hasn't scored from open play is still going to linger over him. So you felt like, you know, from that building point on, from once Celio came in, it just felt like we were creating that much more.
Yeah, it seemed like it. And I think that when you go back and you look at having Celio come off the bench versus having AZ come off the bench, I don't like the idea, kind of like starting Klaus and Adeniran, you know, both of them. I don't really like having both of them on the field necessarily starting at the same time, because I like one of them being able to come on with energy. I do tend to think Celio's played a little bit better, so I wouldn't mind seeing more of him in the starting lineup. But regardless, to get one of those two guys to come in off the bench would be a I think a major, you know, it's a major boost to the squad, and you see that with Celio coming in here versus AZ, but you see it plenty of times with AZ coming on and Celio starting as well.
Yeah, I just feel like from here going forward, though, I don't think you can leave anybody out with what we're needing that is in form that you're thinking we'll save him for later. There can't be any more laters. And Celio's proven throughout this year that he can get those minutes and still keep that energy up throughout the entire time. So, you know, it was just great that, you know, he was used early, so he had time to kind of build into the game. One thing I noticed with Sam coming on a little bit later is during that whole barrage, one thing that we were noticing on the south end was how gassed Dallas's defense was early in that half, which was a big upgrade from the week prior where they said they came out with no energy in that second half. You didn't feel that in this half. And there were even a couple times where like Omar Gonzalez or more experienced defenders were kind of just telling the keeper or the defender, slow down. Like you could see them gasping for air. And so while Celio came in and brought that energy, almost the only issue I had with, you know, when Sam came in is I wish he almost would have came in a little bit earlier to feed off those tired legs, because, you know, while you got them on the ropes, don't let them kind of back into it. Keep that pressure on to keep gassing them from there on out, you know?
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. Eric, we got to correct ourselves too, because we misspoke earlier. Pace had 7 saves. Berkey had 4 saves. So not the other way around. So I think I had mentioned earlier that Pace had 4 saves. Berkey had 7 saves.
I think when you're making the saves that Berkey made, though, they feel like 20 saves.
Agreed. And again, it's not taking anything away. So we did have 3 more saves. But again, 27 total shots. You would anticipate more reaching the target at that point.
You would hope.
The ones coming, though, from Berkey, the 2 that he had made back-to-back, essentially, in that 58th, 59th minute. The first one on the jet shot, that he had, you know, had to again dive for and make an incredible save on, and then on the corner right after that. Go through a couple of these here and talk about what you saw from your angle and just how impactful these saves were.
Yeah, that 58th was, you know, it was tough to see just how much space that Legette had from our angle, but rewatching it back, you're just thinking he's clearing on goal. And really kind of like that shot earlier from Ansa, like if he picks a little bit more of corner either side, this is a goal. But this is just another experienced play from Berkey coming out, kind of taking away that angle. And then again, kind of like we've touched on throughout the year many a times, a lot of these saves are almost reminiscent of like hockey goalie saves.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
you see that a lot.
He shoots this legit and goes glove side, and Berkey gets that kind of swiping motion to just tip it to where it, you know, trajectory goes over the goal. So, man, we're thinking like, all right, can't let that happen again. And then, like you said, just after that, a corner kick comes. And from our angle, I saw, who was it, Frazier? You saw him rise above. Like, from our angle, the big thing you see on these corners is whoever wins it, we can see, like, them rise above whoever else it is. And it just felt like he got above. I think it was Indy who was on him. He just clearly looked almost open on the free header. And with the congestion and everybody in front of us, you see where it's going, kind of like that Markkanen shot we touched on earlier. And I thought that was in. And to see that ball dribble out and to see the north end go up and then that, you know, that zombie song starting and everything going, it was just like, oh man. Then it was kind of this fear of like, oh no, we're letting them back into it. Because when you have back-to-back, when you're feeling like you're getting the pressure and you just think, we can't let them like turn this around, we have to stay on them. So, man, to come out of there with just, again, two massive saves for us and keeping us in the game is just, again, huge on Berkey.
Seven games into the season, Eric, is he your MVP at this point?
How can he not be, as far as like as far as you go city-wise, you know, league-wide? You know, I don't think we have the performances to back his claim up, and that's not his fault. But for our team, by far, I mean, we haven't really had any standout performances from any real player throughout the year that you would say that you pick out a game and you go, yeah, he was just on it that night. You know, Sam's had a few, you know, touches here. I feel like Totlin, if anything, is probably that second.
He's played really well.
And it's also, while I do want to give him credit for, you know, how he is playing and, you know, not taking anything away from it, but you also kind of keep in your mind, is he playing that well, or is it just such an upgrade from what we've experienced that it seems like such a big deal? The guy behind me was even saying that night, it's just so comforting now knowing that when they're coming down this, you know, our right side, you know, the left side, our right side, their left, you just feel a little bit more confident with Totlin doing it. And he cleans up, and for the most part he's been phenomenal. So if anything, you know, unfortunately I think Celio's been rotated a little bit to, you know, when he's in form it's kind of been hindered, I guess you could say, and statistic wise again it kind of hurts him not having as many. But for me, by far, just you think about what our record could be, draws especially, when you think about, when you really put it into how many draws we have, which we didn't have this many draws until like the end of the season last year. When you put into how many draws and you think about two or three, it's like not couple saves, it's like two or three massive game-changing saves that he's made. I mean, he's by far, I think, been City's MVP this year so far.
He's played amazing. He played amazing last year, too. I mean, I can't tell you how many podcasts we sat here across from each other and talked about, like, God, if it wasn't for Berkey, we'd probably lose that game. So you're not in first place without Berkey. You're not in first place without Berkey last year. I said it right. You're certainly not in a position where you've got five. I mean, God, if he didn't, I can't imagine where we'd be at.
And even the commentators touched on it earlier in the season about how they looked up and I think he had like eight clean sheets last year. And they were like, that they were just so shocked to think that he only had eight considering how well he performed. And, you know, it's the worry is you're starting to see each week when he's in these post-game press conferences, it's just the frustration is growing more and more because he's probably got to be thinking, like, there's nothing more I can really be doing here. I can't think of a moment on this year that we could really say Berkey maybe could have got that one. I think every save that we think Berkey, it's almost like Berkey shouldn't have got that one, but he did. So it's a worry that, you know, that's going to start creeping in that, like, we want him around forever, but at the same time, I think he's got to also maybe be thinking like, I can't just do this on my own and then be on a not winning side, you know?
Yeah. You mentioned draws too, by the way, and you were right. City had five last year as they finished the year with five draws, five already this season.
It's insane.
It is. It is insane, man. Like, I don't know. I don't know what gives.
And it's so weird to feel that we're not losing really. And we're just feeling, and kind of like Berkey touched on, he said post game, he was like, we haven't played us this whole year.
Yeah.
He's like, I haven't really felt like there's been a game that, you know, you look back and think that's the team from last year, that that's mm-hmm. why we were where we were at last year. So, yeah, it's he's just as frustrated, I think, as the rest of us. But at the same time, it's weird thinking that we're not losing, but yet we're so far down.
So far down. It continued to get, you know, interesting as we moved through. You had another Klaus attempt on an AZ cross in the 67th that he had shot and missed high. Things got hairy in the 70th minute, man. A goal for Dallas gets called back on an offside. This had to have silenced the crowd. When you think about how well Berkey had been playing to this point, how well the offense looked. I mean, just so many opportunities, so many chances. We talked 27 total shot attempts, so they were not being shy with the ball. They were definitely going for goal for the majority of this game. When that goal went through, obviously it gets called back, you know, due to offsides, but like what was that? You could almost feel a pin drop, I feel like, probably at that point.
Yeah, and I want to give credit to our South End supporter hats, because that thing took a ripping after that when I took it off my head.
Oh, boy.
But not a stitch went out of place. So,
that's,
you know,
a quality
get
hat.
You a South End supporter
it's
hat.
It's a quality
that thing
hat.
Held up. Yeah, I mean, it was just that feeling again. Like, we felt like we were in it. We saw them on the ropes. We saw their defense getting gassed. We saw these opportunities coming that just weren't being finished off. And then to see the ball go in the back of the net, you're exactly right. It was dead silence in that place. Thank God the ref put his flag up quick, because if there would have been any mulling over or I don't know, or had that not been called, like I think it would have been. But luckily that silence really picked up quick once that flag went up. And from our angle, you know, obviously we can't tell, and there wasn't really any replay shown. You see it being reviewed, and just kind of the way it was feeling, I was just thinking like, no.
Yeah,
that's it.
My wife was watching the game on her phone at the Battlehawks game. And so we saw that happen. You know, I glanced down at it as well, and you don't see the referee's flag go up. Mm-hmm. You just see the celebration, right, of the team after the goal score. So you're like, oh my God, you don't know, and I can't hear anything. We don't have the sound going on.
Right.
So to me, it just looks like, you know, there it is. Then they pan the camera over to the flag, which is up, and you're like, okay.
Which is funny, because even on the kind of replays in the stadium that night, there was the behind goal angle was kind of like almost cut at a weird angle. Mm. So even when they replayed it in the stadium, we couldn't see it. We just saw this, like, we
you
saw
think they use the same cameras all the time.
I don't know what happened with that. But if anything, my first thought was, oh, maybe he hit it with his hand, because we just see his hand come up kind of high. And so my thought was, oh, maybe this is, because I'm thinking set piece, you rarely see like set pieces from that angle be called offside. Mm. But then rewatching it today, yeah, it was pretty clearly offsides. And so you just think, man, from there on out, you would hope to be thinking like, okay, no more of that. Like, we can't even let them get a sniff of goal from here, because we can't allow this. Like, again, where we dominate a game,
right,
they squeak
and
one
this
in.
This has happened a few times this season.
So many times. And so, and it was funny, I almost felt like I jinxed us, because all night I was kind of looking at Omar Gonzalez, and I was like, and finally I turned to the guy behind us and I was like, is that Omar Gonzalez? I was like, do you follow the national team at all? And he's like, yeah, sort of. I was like, is that Omar Gonzalez? I didn't remember him coming back to Dallas. And I think they said he's kind of been in and out of the starting lineup, so maybe that's why. But, you know, I've known him, I've watched him for years. And so shortly after that, when he got the goal, I almost felt like, oh man, did I just jinx it? Should I have not acknowledged that he was out there? And so, yeah, thank God that got called back. And then shortly after that, you know, we see, you know, Sam coming in.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh, it just kind of felt like, good, we're not, again, I would have almost maybe liked to see him a little earlier. But finally, I think we were all kind of like, everybody in the stadium was kind of like, let's get him in there.
And he had a great chance in stoppage time. Before that, though, you had another pace save on a Klaus shot that he had gotten a through ball to and ended up in like the 74th.
Yeah, and Sam, first touch of the game, slots it in to find Klaus. Yeah. And one thing I noticed throughout the night was it felt like we were running Sam high, Klaus kind of checking back, kind of like we touched on that we would like
Ooh.
To see. And one thing, I felt like they linked up a little bit better, you know, throughout the night, which is kind of, you
I
know,
think Sam's a big Southend supporter listener, just so you
that's,
know.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear. You know, he may tell you different, but don't listen to him. But yeah, it was just, it just felt like there was more connecting passes. It felt like they were maybe looking for each other a little bit more, which we haven't really seen come to fruition throughout the year. So, I mean, if anything, again, that you take a positive throughout the night is maybe they can work. We just need to adjust the way that they're on the field at the same time. It still looked like we went to a 4-4-2, but it never looked like they were, other than like free kick, like goal kicks, it never looked like they were side by side. It always looked like Klaus was a little check back more, which we want to see because that's where he's a little better collecting the ball, holding it up and linking with the midfield. And Sam just kind of stayed high. So who knows, maybe going forward, at least knowing that even if we only start one and we stay in that 4-2-3-1 system, if they do come, one of them is coming onto the bench, it doesn't necessarily have to be a like for like switch. Maybe we can have them on this field at the same time and it be successful.
It's a perfect marriage if it can happen, right? I mean, I think everybody would love to see it if it would work. The fact that they were able to link up a little bit there and both have opportunities late is definitely promising.
Yeah, and I mean, man, that one, first off, that Klaus one that he took a little bit earlier, no angle. I remember when he shot it, I was just kind of like, what are you doing? And then I see it clink off the crossbar in front of us, and it's just like, oh my God, like that kind of surprised me. But the way he hits this one, Sam plays it into him, and he kind of has to hold up his run a little bit just to kind of get it under his feet. And so he kind of hits it into the ground, which bounces it up. And I mean, credit to Pace on this one. It's just a great save, but it was just, again, it just felt like, I'm sure other teams have felt all throughout last year, where you're just thinking like when they're shooting on Berkey, like that Colorado game, that one year.
Oh, what, 11 saves or whatever
something
it was.
Crazy. Yeah. I'm sure we probably had to feel on the night, like, what do we have to do to score on the night?
Yeah, I mean, anything that anything on target, man, was getting denied. It was crazy. Unfortunately, not one on target, but a really good opportunity in stoppage time from Sam, had that breakaway. This had to be disappointing. I'm watching this thing, and I didn't actually see this live. I went back and rewatched this part of it. But to think that he couldn't finish here, that's pretty heartbreaking. You had a great view of this, would have been coming in the angle that we love so much from that far side in the south end, coming back our way. Unfortunately, it goes wide. Like, I mean, what happened here? What caused this miss?
This one was frustrating. There were a couple frustrating ones prior to that. Sam got another, you know, in space again on his right this time. So you give him a little credit as not favored, leg, I guess we'll say. It was like the 89th. He spun in. He found himself space, gets into the box. He just takes it a little bit, maybe too far, so he makes his angle that much tougher. But he gets under it and puts it over. Then in the 91st, Ostrock found himself some space. And this is the one where he shoots this. It goes into side netting. From our angle, all we see is the net bulge. The ball didn't like bounce out anywhere crazy. So to us, our whole, like, what is that? The southeast side.
Yes.
We all threw our hands up. We were all like this. And then once we didn't see celebrations, we were all kind of like, that didn't go. Oh, it was side netting. But this one, it felt like that Thorson chance that happened, you know, earlier in the season where he gets it in, he gets space, and then he even brings it onto his favored left. But what he does, and like you said, we love that angle from this where we expect curling into that side net. He hits it with the outside of his foot, which doesn't really make sense to me because his angle's fine as it is because he was so far into the box. But then to hit it with the outside of your foot just means it's going to peel away from the post. Mm-hmm. If anything, he got it onto his left. I don't know if maybe his footing wasn't right or he just had to kind of lunge at it and his best option was the outside of the foot. But I'm thinking if he brings this onto that left like he did and hits it with the inside of the foot, this thing's tucking inside netting and then we're all celebrating and just thinking like, thank God we got out. Right. We didn't let that wander. But we saw him hit it at, like you said, perfect angle. And it was just almost like the ball was moving in slow motion for us. We just saw it like it's going wide. Everywhere else in the stadium probably felt like it's in.
Yeah.
And we just saw it slowly trickle in. And then the ball just rolls in front of us even like to just, you know, rub it in. It was just like, and right after that one, though, it was just kind of that feeling of, we let another one go.
Think about how that would have felt for Dallas, man, to have that performance from that keeper and then give one up in stoppage time.
And especially, I mean, I saw somebody on the socials say, you know, Dallas is almost playing like they're playing for a tie, but at that point, they probably were.
Right.
You think they're with so many injuries, they're having the season they are, they came in here, they've absorbed this barrage of pressure all throughout the night, and getting that late in the game, they got to be thinking, let's get out of here with anything. Yep. And you noticed it, especially the second the final whistle blew. Dallas was almost kind of smiles and all celebrating, and you just saw it on all the players' faces, especially the defense. The defense kind of like dropped to like, we did our part, clean sheet. And even Klaus, they zoomed in on him. He's shaking his head just like, I feel like everybody there that night, there wasn't a smile to be shown on City's face. It's just kind of, you're seeing this frustration build of, guys, we can't keep letting these points slip. And especially, you know, at home, I think it was Berkey who touched on it, or maybe Carnell. He's like, while this is great that it is an improvement, at home and against, you know, teams that we're expected to beat, but just literally at home, it has to be our fortress. It has to be a place that when they come here, it almost feels like a no doubter. We're going out of there with 3 points. And to leave there, even if you get a point, you don't drop tech, you don't lose technically, that felt like a loss.
Yeah, I mean, you drop in the standing, so I think there's no other way to put it at that point. And the fact, you know, City possessed the ball 67% of the game.
I saw that. That's wild.
And had 9 corner kicks. 67% of the time at 9 corners, 27 total shots, you know, 7 reaching the target, as I misspoke earlier again. So when you think about just all the chances and the possession and the opportunity, it's just like, I think it makes it worse a little bit, you know?
You're right. It leaving out of there that night,
sorry to cut you off, but the reason why I say that is because, like, I don't know if you could play a better game. But we take the finishing out of it. You know what I mean?
You're right.
The game that the keeper has, the game the defense had, and the game that the offense, you know, at least created, the chances the offense created, I think that's what makes it hurt worse, because that's as good, with the exception of the actual finishing, right, that actually puts the goals on the scoreboard. With the exception of that, that's as good as you can play, I think.
No, I from people, you know, you, like we touched on last week with the South End submission, as far as social media goes, the people that you kind of typically make valid points all kind of, you know, echoed that thought process where, you know, the only thing that was missing on the night, I felt like, was the finishing. We've been very critical all year about there's just no chance creation. We're not getting shots. We're, you know, hesitant in the final third. We're not creating these chances. We created them all throughout the night. The only thing that literally was missing on the night was finishing. And it was nice seeing, you know, the team go for it, not, you know, feel like we settled back and let them have the possession. It was almost kind of like Dallas was playing our typical way of playing, where they just, you know, their chances kind of came off these set pieces or just a weird counter. It wasn't like you felt like they developed the ball up the field and just had all these great, you know, plays that just outworked us or outskilled us or any way. It just felt like if they would have caught us, it would have been on a fluke or on a break or something off the way that it felt like we were just solely in control all throughout the night. And like we touched on, it was a very exciting, like it shouldn't have been that exciting, a 0-0 draw. And it just felt like everything was there but the goal tally. And so, like we said, while you want to look as it, yeah, it's an improvement, at the end of the day, though, it doesn't matter when you're looking at no goals for.
Yeah.
And kind of like Carnell touched on, though, like, hey, if you're going to not score, you better make sure not to concede either.
Hey, Eric, it's April 6th. If you want a beach-ready body by June 6th, where are you headed?
Now's the perfect time, and get into it now, because the perfect place to go is Ready to Live Wellness. They got everything that you could possibly need to get yourself in shape. The weather is changing. It's time to get outside and get moving. Whether you're going on vacation or just looking to be the best version of yourself, they got everything you could need, from CrossFit to personal training, athletic, performance trainings. They have it all as far as getting you in the best shape you can, and then also making sure you're recovering the best way you can with physical therapists, chiropractors, masseuse, everything all under one building. So it's not like you have to go to multiple places to get yourself in the best shape you can or move in the best way you can. It's all in one place, and it's a perfect place to go.
That's Ready to Live Wellness, 1530 South Kings Highway Boulevard. Follow them on Instagram at R2L Wellness. Eric, you work out at Ready to Live Wellness. That's pretty close to Felix's Pizza Pub. Theoretically, man, you could go and work out in there and then come and have a bunch of calories at Felix's and just totally ruin that workout. But I think you'd be really happy with both choices.
Just get their meat lovers so you could say there's protein
it's
on
car-
it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're getting protein. So
meat
just
lovers,
justify that.
You could scrape the crust off.
Get and then that. Their wings, I mean, you're looking at a good protein meal.
It's,
I mean, just make sure
food.
When you go for your nutrition advice, you go to people who have that mindset.
There you go. It's exactly right. Well, a 0-0 draw, a disappointing one, as we mentioned, at City Park Saturday night. City drops to 11th place in the West, 8 points now, as they sit with 1 win, 1 loss, and 5 draws. It's so hard to believe. 5 draws when you had a season last year where you had 5 the entire season. Dallas improves, I suppose. They're 13 in the yeah. West. They get a win. A draw there. So it's 1 win now, 4 losses. And four losses and one draw. So four total points for Dallas as they sit in 13th place in the West. Now, familiar foes coming back to City Park. It will be on Sunday. So a Sunday 3:45 kickoff, I think it is, at City Park as St. Louis welcomes in Austin. It was a 2-2 draw March 9th in Austin. We've seen Austin three times now, I guess, in our in short history in the MLS. Leuven and Celio had goals in that game, the 2-2 draw back March 9th, but they come in and coming off a 4-3 victory on Saturday night at Austin, and here they come.
Yeah, and they're coming back with some pieces that they didn't have, you know, the last time we saw them. So, but there's just that much more motivation that to make sure that we're performing. We can't look at it as a team that's missing pieces and, you know, coming out, you know, slow or whatever we did like last time. They're going to be coming, so we got to make sure we match that energy. And it's going to be a little exciting, you know, a little day game at City Park. Yeah. I don't know if I've been to one outside of like a City 2 game or anything like that. I think most of the games have typically
wasn't the Galaxy game. Wasn't the Galaxy
That's
game
right,
a day
it was.
Game?
But it was so cloudy and miserable that it didn't feel like it was. So it sounds like we're going to have beautiful weather as well. So it's going to be a good time. But I'd almost just, I mean, what do you say at this point, you know, that we haven't already said? I think you got to look at it as a game that you come out with the same mindset as far as what we did last week. I think you got to try and get on top of them early and maintain that pressure. Not letting off the gas. I'd like to see a similar style as far as lineup goes, where we, you know, keep Alm in that starting lineup to continue to apply pressure. We've had history with Austin, you know, causing mistakes from the press in the past. So I'd like to see that continued. And I think Alm's one of those great, you know, tools to do that. Maybe this is the time that AZ gets that rotation and Indy falls into that spot. I think we continue with Ostrock starting. And some sort of defensive-minded center mid, whether it's Durkin or Blom, whoever's probably fittest, or, you know, you go from there. With that option, always come off the bench. Maybe Blom if you're looking for a little bit more defensive-minded, not as much distribution. And then I think you run with Ostrock with the form that he came out with last week. I think Celio has to come back into the starting lineup.
I agree with that.
I just think you can't hope for options coming into the second half, and especially because, you know, we did see Yarrow come off in that second half for Hebert, and from what I understand, I saw it happen when I was confused as to why Hebert was coming in, but I do remember a play where I saw Yarrow kind of like reach back and touch kind of the hamstring area. Carnell said it was just something that was like overstretched or outreached, and, you know, it's a little something, but he hasn't got any updates as of yet. So that's another issue, is we keep having, you know, center backs drop. So, you know, maybe Hebert has to fill that void. I doubt Nielsen's back yet, but who knows? Or if he is, he's probably not in match fit to be from the starting. So you got already kind of a maybe makeshift defense, not trying to knock Hebert, but I think we'd all agree that he's probably, you know, fourth on the starting lineup as far as center backs go. So,
although I would say he's looked better.
He has. He's looked a little bit more stable. But I think one of the big reasons is he's finally playing his natural position. He's not being called to really, I mean, other than the time Totland came out, but we saw how that happened. So here he'll be in his
He's not a wing back.
And I think he probably is also kind of shaking his head when they're like, you're going in the wing. He's like, not again, man. So maybe we see that Parker Hebert connection, and hopefully they stay solid. But I think we gotta, as we touch on all the time, we gotta get on them early. But we have to continue creating those chances that we saw Saturday. But the biggest thing is we gotta make sure we're finishing them off.
City's a pretty comfortable favorite in this game.
Are they?
I'm kind of surprised, man. It's like -145 in it. You know, honestly, the draw is like +2.25 or +2.5 or so. I think that's probably the bet at this point. Just keep betting the draw.
No kidding, man. Like, it's wild to think, like, I just can't imagine going into City Park and not thinking that we're going to score.
Yeah.
Let alone the fact that we keep having these draws. Like you said, it just feels like a loss almost when it's at City Park. So
if you bet, I'd have to go back and really tally this up, but if you bet $100 for a draw on every game so far this season, you'd be up almost $1,000. That's
really,
yeah, really in that ballpark. Yeah. it's nuts.
You would know more than me. Like, Do people bet draws very often?
I never do.
I figure if any sport, or I don't obviously think there's going to be a sport that would happen would be soccer, but I just don't feel like that's ever like a comfortable safe.
No, I don't think I have a lot in common with somebody betting draws.
The question is, going into the Saturday, are you going to look for some odd bets to place? Fouls, shots, corners? Are you going to go that route this time? I know you've been...
Maybe. You know, I got absolutely killed this weekend. Just absolutely killed, Eric. I cannot stress enough how terrible of a weekend it was for me. City lost. They drew. I had them winning.
It feels like I lost.
It was a loss for me.
Yeah.
The Battlehawks didn't cover. I had them at minus 5.5. They won by 3. Go figure. By the way, all of this is happening while we're driving across the river. Yeah. So like, Sarah's in the passenger seat. I'm driving, and I'm like, Sarah, bet this, bet that. You know, so she's placing these bets for me. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to get healthy on Sunday with the Iowa women's basketball game. So I had them at plus 6.5, and they jumped out to this crazy lead. And I'm thinking, this is a lock at this point. And then that started to fade, and then they came back, and then it went downhill very quickly after that. So pretty bad losses, Eric. I don't know, man. I'm not sure. I told Sarah I'd probably take a little break. And that is saying this as the men's national championship is about to tip off in an hour. So I'm not entirely sure if I'm going to be able to, but we're going to try. If I did return from betting this weekend, I might try some props, because betting the game is just not working right now.
I mean, it makes it more exciting for me.
It doesn't make it, then I'll do it.
Plus,
if it makes it more exciting for you, I want you to be engaged.
Here's the other thing, too. You're going to have your glasses. You're going to, say you bet fouls, you're going to know who's fouled.
I will.
You'll be able to see them from across the field.
I will.
You'll know who's taking those corners.
You know what we're going to do, Eric? We're going to get together, and you're going to help me with some of these prop bets, because I think we could probably know.
I didn't think this was going that way.
Well, it is. You got no skin in it, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, but I get that secondhand guilt.
I don't have the guilt. I don't care.
Hey.
Last time you felt this way, it worked.
This is a good point.
So we'll be good there. Eric, as far as news goes, what do you have for us?
So we got a couple of stories coming in. City 2, they continue that winning streak as they pulled it out in PKs after full-time went to a 1-1 draw. They pulled it out and got the win. McSorley back on the score sheet again. He had a nice little touch inside the box, so it was a good little goal.
They seem to be playing really well.
They're playing well. I think another good thing that we're seeing, too, with like City 2 at this moment is we're having players like Kojima and Watts and, you know, Wenzel, Klein, all these players that, you know, have seen City 1 time. They're not just getting wasted kind of on the bench. They're still getting in match shape, whether it's, you know, at the highest of skill level that we'd like to see them getting. It's just good seeing that, you know, especially these home games where they have that option. Kojima was on the bench, and it was just nice to see that he didn't play. Okay, cool. He'll get some minutes for City 2. So it's just good seeing that, you know, City 2's at least finishing off these wins. Or finishing off these draws with a win, because they have that option. But God, I would not ever like to see MLS go to a PK if it's drawn at the end of full time.
You know, they used to do it, right? Like a shootout type thing.
Yeah.
Back early days of this.
Was this back? Are you talking about back in the day when they used to give them the ball at like half court?
They called it a shootout.
Yeah.
Like, just like hockey, right? Very gimmicky.
Those were the wildest times. It's something that Americans are kind of made fun of for overseas. They're like, can you believe the Yanks used to be doing this in the settle games? And man, imagine how nerve-wracking a PK is, let alone trying to watch, you know, a defender dribble from midcourt and then trying to figure it. Oh,
it's goofy.
It'd be terrible. Kind of like we touched on last week, Edu's out, you know, with the injury, but Carnell kind of touched on the pregame interview, and this is a quote. He said, "Edu, we've given him a bit of space. He needs to deal with some things away from the field, and that's where we'll leave that discussion." And that's kind of where we're going to leave that discussion as well. We're not going to speculate on anything. All we're going to say is we hope that Lubin's doing good and everything's good, and we can't wait to see him back.
Yeah, wish him the best for real. We can't. You're right. We can't
wait. No
matter
what's going on.
Yeah.
Some exciting news again with the St. Louis Academy. They're adding a U14 team. So they have U15, U17, and it's just cool to see that even from a younger age, they're getting, you know, kids involved with the St. Louis area as far as, you know, a competitive level, and it's exciting. And so they're opening up for the upcoming MLS next season and hosting open trials. I believe it's April 19th. So maybe if you've got a stud U14 kid, this may be a time to get him some shine and get him some City gear while he's wearing it too.
Like it.
So it's just cool seeing that the academy's continuing to grow and develop these players. And just, again, growing the sport within the city. Not that it needs any help doing it, because it's such a great city to come up for soccer, but it's just cool seeing them add that to the mix.
As a former player, Eric, is there just a little bit of jealousy
that you were
born not a little bit later as far as your actual birth date, so you could potentially qualify for some of these things?
There's not a little bit of jealousy, David. There's a lot of jealousy. I'm about to pull up bench warmers and just walk in with like a fake birth certificate.
Rob Schneider.
I am 12. Yeah. I am 12.
It's like that with everything, though. I mean, not that this is even in the same ballpark, no pun intended there, but just all the access that all these kids get to everything. I mean, I do the DJ responsibilities for my son's baseball team. So I've got an app that's playing all their walk-up songs, and I'm announcing all of them, and it sounds like you're at a real baseball game, a Major League Baseball game or something. These kids feel like they're on cloud nine with it. We never had anything.
Oh, dude,
cool
when
like
I played
that.
Baseball, the only thing you had was the song you were humming in your head, pretending you were walking
That's
up
it.
A Busch Stadium.
Yeah,
I went to Scarlet's softball games a couple times, and I was just like, they do it up here, and you're like, this is how it is.
Yeah, this is how it is.
And I was like, dude, or even same with Cameron's football. It's just like you go there, and it's like these are little kids.
Yeah, they played one game. We play all of our home games at Mascoutis High School Field, right? So you're in a stadium, essentially, a high school football stadium for Cameron's 9U. This was last year, it would have been 8U, I guess, football. It'll be 9U this year. And we played one game there. It was a night game, so they played under the lights. They had the speaker system going. They had an announcer, an in-game announcer. They have a video board there. So all this stuff's pretty cool for high school anyway, right? But they had the video board going, and they had that going during the game and at halftime and during breaks and everything during this 8U football game, man. It was pretty incredible. So, yeah, they've got it so much better.
Oh, dude, if I could just ever, be playing as a kid, like, competitively and just see that city crest on my, jersey and everything, it's just the coolest thing that they're doing. And like you said, I think it gives those kids just to be able to, I play for City.
Yeah, of course.
No big deal. Something that I found interesting from that kind of resurfaced, Manuel Veth on Twitter, he's kind of a transfer kind of informant, kind of like for Fabricio Ferrum. It's just kind of somebody that, when he puts something out, there's kind of legitimacy to it. And he put something that I found interesting, kind of with the discussion that we've been having with people seeing, like, as far as needing new players and all that type of stuff. He kind of reminded us that Cedric Tuchart from Hanover, which was somebody that we were kind of scouting and trying to make a deal happen in January, but it kind of collapsed just because Hanover's financial demands were a little bit too high for City, is going to be a free agent in the summer, which is when, that transfer window opens up for the MLS, kind of when the European teams are in their off season. So it's something interesting to kind of keep an eye on, because it's somebody that, Lutz obviously was very interested in. They were trying to bring him in. Just the money was the big issue. Well, now we could get him on a free. And another report that I saw is Lutz is scouting up to like 6 different strikers. So kind of like we touched on last week, where you don't think Lutz is out there looking. I mean, this is just proof to it that, he's out there looking. And it's not, again, kind of like we touched on, as easy as, it is to just be like, yeah, we want him. Here's the money, and that's it. There's a lot of financial aspects that go into this stuff, especially when you're buying somebody on a contract, because you're also paying out that contract and then giving them a contract of what you're going to pay them. There's a lot that goes into it. And so, I just kind of hope maybe I it's been a frustrating, I try to stay off now social media, especially the day after a game. And, I'm seeing
that's
things like
probably good for your mental health,
like Carnell out and all that type of stuff already. And there's just one thing that I never see behind any of these tweets or anything going on is, what's your option from that? Okay, you want Carnell out. Okay, we got to buy out his contract. So there's money going there. And then you're not giving us any options of who should we replace him with.
Right.
Tell me who right now is a legitimate coach that you think would propel this team forward that isn't already coaching somewhere, because then you'd have to buy their contract out and then bring them in. So again, it's just throwing out, we got to do this, but there's no like, and this is what we should do from that. And
right.
I think it loses a little bit. And again, you can't look at that, game Saturday night and think, Carnell, what was he doing? It just simply came down to the players on the field not finishing the ball.
Exactly, man. You see that in every sport. And I think it's always easy to, because everybody wants somebody's head. I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. But you think about it, like Carnell, I think, put the best lineup out there, and the guys didn't finish and put the ball in the back of the net. But I mean, he's not the one out there that's actually trying, you know? And so for me, like, they've built a system that has historically, and when you say historically, for one season, worked. I mean, they finished first in the West last year. You look at it this season, and you're only 5 points out of first place, right? Like, not a big separation between where they're at with 8 points and where Vancouver's at with 13 points. That's two weekends, you know, two mm-hmm. weekends. So it's not like it's over. People need to chill. People need to relax. And I get it. Like, you want changes to happen. Changes could potentially be in the works. You mentioned with Tuchart there. It sounds like, too, Lutz is potentially scouting some more players, and we'll get into that in a second. But when you talk about, you know, we want the head coach out, like you said, like, people are all about ideas with no solution. You know, and that's what you see all the time in any fan page, in any sport, for any team. But at the end of the day, when you get 3 points for a win, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, there's a huge opportunity, especially when we're still early in the season and not a lot of separation has happened, to go from 11th place to 4th or 5th place, you know, pretty quick. I mean, you think about it right now, 8 points is where you're sitting. The number 4 spot, number 3 spot has 11. Right? So you win one game, one of those team loses, and you're right back. It just takes one at this point. You got to continue that momentum.
Right.
You got to continue to play really well, but it's not like this thing is over with. So, you know, be fortunate that you're in a position where you have had these draws and not losses, and you are kind of racking up a little point here and there. Yeah, it's frustrating, and I'm as frustrated as anybody, especially, like I said, when the team essentially plays really, really good, minus the result. But I don't know, man. If I had to pick a manager in St. Louis to be gone, Carnell would not be the first one.
Yeah, no kidding. And here's another thing just kind of on top of that. Let's just say, and I hate the way that, you know, nowadays, especially in soccer, when results are coming, the first thing everybody thinks is, you know, manager's got to go. When, you know, I think that's something you evaluate toward, you know, at the end of the season. And here's a big reason why is, say you get Carnell out. Him and Lutz have been working for 2 years now to develop a system, develop the players that fit this system and everything like that. Where are you going to find a coach that also follows that exact system? Because the thing is, you bring in that coach and he's like, oh, I play a totally different style. And these 5 players who have been starting all year don't fit that style.
Right.
Now you got to try and either, you know, keep them for depth, but then they're likely not playing. And then, or you got to offload them, and then you maybe are taking a hit on their contract. On top of that, then you have to bring in more players to fit this system. Not only you have to do that, you have to do that under an MLS salary cap with two DP slots already filled. So then you're also hitting that. I don't think it's just as easy, whether it's transfers, but especially with the manager out, I've seen it happen way too many times where they bring a manager in who plays a completely different style, and then 5 players who were doing well for you last year are useless at that point.
Well, how about this, Eric? You're a year in, you know, 7 games into Lutz's 5-year plan, essentially,
right,
with a team that was scheduled to finish last in the West a season ago.
And that's a great point too. Like, not every year is going to be last year.
No, it was special. Enjoy it.
That's what made that year so amazing, is how well we outkicked our coverage.
Right.
Like, it was, you know, just because, like, 5 games in, and we still did it. We went 5 games undefeated.
Right.
Now it wasn't
point.
Now it's not the same,
not the
feeling
same,
as
but
last
a great
year.
Point.
But it's still not like we went 0-5. We could be in Dallas's situation now where we're staring at 4 losses straight out the gate. And Dallas was expected to be they made some good moves in the offseason. A striker from Benfica who was expected to just run away and just score a bunch of goals. They felt so high on him, and he's not performing. So again, you bring in somebody who you feel like is going to be, you know, doing well. He's done well and it just doesn't click on for him. Then you're eating this massive contract for another player who's just not performing. So I think if anybody, like you touched on, I think Carnell is, you know, so far he's not doing anything that would have anybody, I should be thinking, like, he's got to go. He's the reason for we're doing it. I think if the first place you got to look is just the players that are on the field and what they're doing in that. I mean, like we said, it's been a lot of just same mistakes that we've seen to be making the past year or past so far this year that have given up goals. And then it's just coming down to now we're seeing chance creation, which we've been saying is needed to be a big change. But now it just comes down to finishing in the back of the net. You really think about it. Yeah, we could have lost 3-0, but we could also won 6-0. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think we have to give it time. We have to get healthy. The guy behind me brought up a great point. He's like,
we got to learn that guy's name, by the way.
We still,
you've said the guy behind me about four times.
And it's because I'm terrible with names. I will need you to tell me your name. I'll need to take a picture with your name underneath it. So I'm just like a face recognition. And unfortunately, we don't follow each other on social media that I can't put that face to a name so many times.
I get it.
But both those guys, they rotate out throughout season. And I enjoy talking to them so much. And I feel bad because he knows my name. And so that makes it even worse. No. But I enjoy talking to him every game. And so yes, you're definitely right. I need to just like have him repeat it 10 times. But I don't even remember where I was going with that because, again, that's how my mind works. Yeah. It's in 1 minute and out the next. So maybe we'll just move on from that. Yeah. But that guy's great.
He is great. Both of them are great. That whole row's great.
Oh, I mean, it couldn't have worked out better as far as, you know, where we're at in the stadium. Just the fact that we're in there is just amazing. But not only the angle we have, but the people we're surrounded with, it just makes City Park that much more fun throughout the night. Just kind of, we haven't touched on it in a little while, but ESPN's power rankings, we've dropped down to 23rd. It says, stop me if you heard this one before. Roman Berkey rescue result for St. Louis. Unfortunately, that's true. This time, he earned them a scoreless draw with Dallas. And so, coming up, we got Austin. They're sitting in 28th. Yeah, they got a win against San Jose is pretty much what they're saying. But, you know, San Jose's dead last in the league, so they're kind of looking at it as a, you know, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah, kind of should have happened.
And so one thing that just real quick, checking Twitter, and it's just kind of an unfortunate part of it, and unfortunately he destroyed us when we played him, but LA Galaxy Joseph Pansel said was a victim of racist social media. And the only reason I want to bring this up is I've seen this becoming a trending thing from worldwide, and it's just so sad that we're still seeing this, kind of like we touched on with the whole Mexico-U.S. national team. This stuff is still continuing to be in the league. It's just there's no place for it, and you know, your heart goes out to Pansel for having to deal with that, or any player that ever has to deal with that kind of stuff. It's just sad to see in today's day, and especially with this game. It's such a beautiful game, and to see it marred by something so stupid is just stupid. So thoughts out to Pansel. Nobody should have to go through that kind of stuff.
Terrible.
One last thing I want to touch on that I kind of found interesting for season ticket holders. Typically, we get these like end of match surveys where it's kind of like, how'd you like the food? How was, you know, all this type of stuff?
We relocated a vendor because of those surveys.
I don't want to say it was because of us. I think but it was. I feel like maybe somebody was listening. But they actually put something out interesting today in regards to the League's Cup. So if you declined your option as far as the League's Cup's first strip of tickets, they sent you out a survey as to kind of ask why, you know, you declined. And your answers range from not important, somewhat important, moderately important, important, very important. And they had like price, uncertain match day times, the length of the tournament, timing of the tournament, quality of opponents, lack of interest. But the one I found the most interesting was the last question they asked on there was the MLS decision on the 2024 Open Cup. And I find that interesting because it makes me curious in a couple ways. Is this their way of gaining data to take to the higher ups to be like, look, we have so many complaints showing as to why we should be there, and this is our reason why. And then they have data backing up this and to make sure stuff like this doesn't ever happen again, because this is telling me that quite a few people declined. And I think they're realizing from what they're probably seeing on social media and just from what they're hearing, the Open Cup's a big reason for that. And we've voiced our opinion on the show a couple times about how we would have much rather seen us stick to the Open Cup rather than the League's Cup. But the whole reason I bring this up is if you are one of those people that got this survey, take it. This is your time to voice your opinion to maybe where it doesn't get lost in the sauce like we talked about on social media. It goes straight to them. And whether it's, you know, them trying to convince people within city, we don't feel it's that way, but whether it is, or it's this them taking, you know, statistical data to take to the higher, you know, ups in the league and show them this is why St. Louis should be a part of this tournament.
Yeah, it's interesting, Eric. I'll take it. I didn't see it. You told me. I check my email like once every 2 weeks, so it's probably lost in there. But I will dig it up. I don't know how I'm going to answer it. I don't know how I'm going to respond. I got to read it, and I want to take I think it is important to get your voice out about it and to be heard. So I'm gonna sit down and take some time with it, and figure out exactly what I want to say to it. I mean, I don't have a lot of interest in the League's Cup. I do find the U.S. Open Cup to be, you know, more interesting. But you know, I've said before, like I really like the MLS and, you know, Cup soccer as an American sports fan to me is just okay. I recognize there's a lot of history, and I think it's amazing, and I'm sure I would get really into it if there was a deep run. I love the idea of the Cinderella story. I wish they'd open it up to Next Pro. I think that would be a lot of fun. They don't. It is what it is. So, you know, I'm curious. I'm going to sit down and I will put it together as well and put something in that survey, and I'm sure it will be probably not real Pro League's Cup and Pro League on this decision. I mean, at the end of the day, it's not City's choice. It's the MLS's choice. So I think it's important to remember that. And yeah, let yourself be heard for sure on this, and maybe next year things get resolved.
Yeah, I haven't answered it either, and for that same reason, is I wanted to make sure that what I put in there wasn't just more, you know, screw the league or anything that they wouldn't look at as constructive reasoning behind their decisions or whatever decision there is. I want to come up and make sure that, you know, I have my reasons that they could legitimately take to show people that it's you know, a legit concern or a legit reason why we feel that we should be in the Open Cup, whether it's history from the cup or just I just feel like the tournament in general, it should be acknowledged, and St. Louis is a huge history in that cup, so to leave them out I think's a shame.
Eric, where can people follow us out on social?
Yeah, make sure you're following us on all the socials, and if you ever have any questions or thoughts you want to get in, make sure to send them our way. On Instagram, we're South End Supporters. Our Twitter is SES_podcast_STL, and then make sure you're following us on all our Facebook page as well to keep up with all things South End Supporters.
Another episode in the books. Want to say thanks so much again to Ready to Live Wellness to continue to support this this program here. Again, if you want to get swole like Eric Cole, please remember, check out Ready to Live Wellness at 1530 South Kings Highway Boulevard, and always follow them on Instagram at R2L Wellness. Thanks so much for listening. Thanks again for our new sponsor, too, Felix's Pizza Pub. Amazing pizza. Check them out over there at 1604 Clayton Avenue in Dogtown. Again, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for Eric Cole. This is David Heck. You've been listening to South End Supporters. We'll see you next week. And until then, let's go City.